the stats, the salt, the sanity. And every so often, they talk about sports, too.
Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk. Who you know fresher than Ho? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking.
Yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. You hear me rap, it's like hands. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time. It's my time, actually, too. I'm Justin Marcus. I'd like to welcome you all into Armchair Sports Talk. Fittingly, the first topic we have today is about clothes, and it's also what we tend to talk about in the pre-show. Bring in Eric Dorsch, who's repping a very nice polo of a new venture in Michigan. Eric, how you doing?
Doing good, buddy. That was excellent. You did a great job.
Good.
You know, you know what I just did there? I just made myself very expendable. I really just did.
So now I get to open up every show into perpetuity. There's a callback from the last episode.
No one had to use that.
Well, he's laughing right now, but we'll bring in Russ, who's also very business casual up and then sweats rolled up from the bottom, which I appreciate. Russ, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I call it like the mullet of loungewear, right? Business on top, party down below.
But you have a mullet right now anyway, so.
I kind of do. Barry Melrose was very important to me growing up.
We need like the Minnesota video of Russ coming up to the blue line, just going, and the hair going back. Yeah, that's what people need to be able to see right now. It's gorgeous.
That's what people want to be able to see. Team.
I'll get the Farrah Fawcett conditioner going, yes. I'll get that for you.
I love it. Well, Eric, I hope I did that justice, but the first topic is going to be right out the gate about Tiger. So we're going to talk clothes, and you can start us off.
I'd be happy to. I do want to ask, though. I know, Jay, I don't know that you ever really had the work-from-home period, neither did I, but I know Russ did. Russ, was it always business up top, party on the bottom, even during everything? Were you always rocking, like, when's the last time you put on real adult pants for work?
Oh, for work? Oof. For a while last summer, I did this thing before I had given up on all appearances where, like, every Friday I would actually get dressed in my casual Friday stuff. I'd wear a polo and I'd put on some khakis or nice jeans or something. And that died before the first snowflake hit. So it's been many a month.
Yeah, I mean, I work overnights a lot here, so there's no one here to see me anyway. So, like, if I have to be here during this time, like, I had to be here during the day today, I have a polo and slacks on. But 9 times out of 10, I'm coming in here in, like, sweatpants and a hoodie in the winter. And it's like, people are looking at, like, I tell my mom or my dad I'm going to work, and they're like, are you going to get dressed? And I'm like, I am dressed for work. I've been rocking the casual, like, I've been ready for coronavirus since 2014 when I started working here.
Baby, I was born ready.
I was born ready for this.
Performance.
I was just ready to go.
So I'm the only one buying jeans. Like, I bought 2 brand new pairs of jeans, and I both stretched them out this week by wearing restrictive tight denim, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, but you're in your early 30s, and you're already a 65-year-old man looking to, like, start cashing in on Social Security and his 401k and all that. Like, dude, I've known Justin since we were in sixth grade. I've known him, like, we weren't, like, best friends back then, but we've known each other and all that. Became really good friends just over a decade ago. Justin was 21 and was already, like, taking vitamins before he, like, drank a beer so he didn't have a hangover. Justin was a 50-year-old man at 20, okay? The man is just ahead of the game. He really is it's the reason, and Russ can back this up, he was our parental guardian for our hockey team at the JCC. If we got into an accident, they wouldn't be able to get a hold of our emergency contact because he was playing left wing for us. Like, there was nothing we could do.
So is the reason why I'm your dad the same reason why we're still not best friends, according to you? Because you said good. You said we're good friends, and I took offense to that.
I want to see how this show goes, and then we'll talk about your upgrade package. You did just do a better job introing the show than I did, so I'm harboring ill will towards you right now. No, but like Jay said, we're gonna start off the show talking about clothes. Really special moment this past Sunday. If you didn't see it, a lot of the players found a way to honor Tiger Woods in any way they could. I know some of these guys said, sorry, we had already packed, like, clothing and all that, so we weren't able to get anything. I mentioned that to Aaron the other day. I'm like, how hard would it have been for them to run to Dick's Sporting Goods and get a red shirt? Like, I think your sponsors would understand, but a lot of guys, Ricky, Tony Finau did it best. He actually had the backwards hat coming in and all that, really looking like Tiger. A lot of these guys all wore red shirts, black hat, black pants, which is Tiger's traditional Sunday attire. And it's classic. It's iconic. And I told Aaron while we were watching it, Jay, it was so cool to see because it really does show you how much Tiger Woods means to the game of golf and to all these guys. But also I said, it's really weird looking at Rory McIlroy walking up 17 on Sunday in Tiger red. Like, that's Tiger's thing. No one else wears red on Sunday because they know I'm going to get talked about with Tiger, and that's not a great thing.
It was weird, especially because he had, like, the weird, like, horizontal black stripes built into his shirt. You know what? But when everyone else was doing it, it looked good. And Shane, like, Webb Simpson, Koepka, and Morikawa, shame on them. They were at the top of the leaderboard. They could have jumped in, too. I was annoyed. And, like, to your point that they could have gone to Dick's, oh, hey, sponsor, you make billions of dollars off my performance. Overnight me a goddamn label and let me slap it on my shirt. Like, they could have figured it out. The tweets that, oh, I already pre-packed, I can't get this, baloney. Baloney. These companies have so much money, and it would have been cool. The fact that Morikawa won and he wasn't in black and red upset me. I had it built in my head the winner was wearing black and red no matter what, and it didn't happen.
I will give Morikawa credit. He won, and the first thing he talked about was how much, like, he dedicates this to Tiger and all that. So I give him a little bit of credit. I agree with you. But Brooks Koepka, you and I know, Jay, Brooks Koepka is an asshole. He doesn't care. Like, he is about himself. So he's not going to do anything to take attention away from Brooks. So not dressing like that. Yeah, the guys who said, oh, I could have done it. But the one for me that I was like, okay, well, here's the thing. You talk about how instrumental he was in the game of golf, Russ. And he talks about Tiger being that instrumental. Is Bryson. Bryson didn't wear anything. Bryson's thing was because him and Tiger played.
Nude?
No, good God. He didn't wear anything to honor Tiger. Yeah, you don't want to see Bryson.
Oh, that makes more sense.
But because he's the same, they play the same golf ball. They're both sponsored by Bridgestone. His golf ball said Tiger on it. That was his way of honoring. So in my head, I'm like, well, that's cool. That's nice. So your way of honoring him is to put his name on a golf ball and then smash the living crap out of it? That doesn't seem like a great way to honor someone.
Or you could say it was one of the two most important tools of his trade, and he put Tiger's name on it. I'm not shocked that Bryson didn't do it, because I would be shocked if he didn't have individually tailored shirts with a special carbon fiber stitching that he has scientifically defined as the best way to golf. So I guess I'm not surprised there, but he did something. And correct me if I'm wrong, Tiger's not dead, right?
No, he's still good. He's not walking right now, but he's alive, yeah.
But yeah, I understand. It's very serious. I like this moment. This was cool. As a not golf fan, it was cool to see. However, it kind of felt, I had to check, like, did Tiger die and I missed it? That's what it kind of felt like, that everyone was doing this level of a tribute to him. I get it. It's important. It was a serious accident, and I hope he is better. It just felt like a lot.
Well, it did. It felt like a lot. Like, it's the same as, like, when Jack Nicklaus passes away. Everyone's going to wear yellow, because that's what Jack wore on Sunday. It felt to me like and Russ, you're a big baseball guy, so this one I might be pushing a little bit. It felt to me like every year when everybody wears 42 to signify what Jackie did. But no. I'm saying it felt like an attempt to do something like that, but I was like, well, one, Tiger's still alive. He still might play golf. And Tiger Woods wasn't the guy that broke the color barrier for golf. There was someone that did it many years before him.
Right.
So I get it, but it did feel like that. It's like, let's honor Tiger. It's like, well, he's still alive. I mean, it was cool. Yeah. It was cool to see, but it's like, he's going to probably be on the tour again at some point.
His career might be dead, though.
You never know.
That's his career. I mean, but between four back surgeries and, like, multiple leg surgeries now, like, bro, you need to stand. His career might be dead. So maybe that's what they were honoring, was his career, because it might be over.
It could very well be over. I mean, I hope it isn't. I've said multiple times over the last couple weeks, the PGA Tour is better when Tiger's in it. The fields are better. He just did so much for the game of golf over the last 30 years that it's better when Tiger's there. But I do agree with Russ. It was cool to see, but there were parts where they would just show the field and it was all red, and I was just waiting for the in memory of Tiger Woods to come across the bottom of the screen.
So what do they do if worst case, in a couple months, we find out, hey, Tigers retiring. Do they do it again?
No, no. They retire like, red from Sunday. You're never allowed to wear red again.
And now we've got Justin mad.
Oh, Jay's pissed. Jay, that's the one thing I'm amazed. I've golfed with you so many times. You don't own a red. Like, I've never seen you come out in Tiger red. I'm waiting for that.
I will explain this. Listen, I suck at golf. I'm not about to be the dude who has all the things, but not all the skill. Like, that's the asshole who shows up looking like, what's his name? Puma. He wears orange and yellow.
Oh,
and
Ricky.
Blue.
Yeah.
You show up at Ricky, you're losing 30 golf balls that day. I'm not that guy.
That's fair. No, look, it was a cool moment. It was nice to see. It was especially nice from the guys who over the last, like Rory, who over the last 10 years has been one of Tiger's big rivals. He's the guy that challenged Tiger supremacy because he was the new young guy that was not afraid of him. He was ready to go. He won majors like with Tiger around. So it was cool to see from that regard. But I agree with Russ. There was that moment where you're scrolling through Twitter waiting to see, like, Tiger Woods takes fatal turn, and it's like, is that why they're doing this? And you don't want to see it, but
I'm scared.
I get what you're saying. By the way, I looked it up. Bryson does have custom shirts. I'm making this up, by the way, but Bryson does have custom shirts because it's a way to inject more protein into his body while he's actually playing.
Like, instead of an insulin pump, he actually has a built-in pocket in his pants that injects him.
Yeah,
like a soy whey protein.
It's like Bane from Batman. Right before he swings, he hits his chest, and it just gives him that little extra pump to go before he's ready to swing.
Oh,
What's that, Ross?
I need Bryson as Bane now.
He probably is.
Baneson DeChambeau.
Baneson.
Let's get the mashup going.
Baneson DeChambeau. Put them side by side, and it's very possible. It really is. Baneson DeChambeau. Oh, gosh. Okay, well, we're going to move on to the next topic. This next topic could go a million different ways. I haven't really thought through how we go about this, but I do want to bring it up. A couple days ago, pretty much a day or two right after we wrapped the last show, if either of you guys can pronounce this guy's name, it would be great for me. I know that. I was talking about the backside of the name.
Abramovich.
By the way, that's an S to the screen, Jay. That's not a Z.
No. Well, hang on, real quick. Wasn't there a movie where there's a cult and it was like Zoltan or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Dude, where's my car?
Zoltan.
Thank you.
Zoltan.
Thank you.
Very nice. I like that. As Russ said, the name previously mentioned, I'm not saying. We've seen how bad I am with names. I'm not saying it. Very, very famous, big-time soccer player over in Europe. During an interview, made the comments, and I'll read this verbatim. He's phenomenal in what he's doing, but I don't like when people have some kind of status and they do politics. I play football because I'm the best at playing football. That is the first mistake people do when they become famous and they come in a certain status. Stay out of it. Just do what you're best at because it doesn't look good. And that is refrained to, or that's in comments to LeBron James using his status and his, you know, his fame to talk about the, you know, issues. And he's using his abilities to, you know, make the comments for the people that otherwise wouldn't be able to say things or otherwise wouldn't be heard in the same way LeBron is with his millions and millions of followers. And it got me thinking of, where I see what he's trying to say, I don't agree with it. Let me put that out first before I, you know, get in a trap here. I see what he's trying to say because for every LeBron, there's 20 other guys who have a little bit of status and they're doing the same thing, but they're not saying the right thing, or they're saying something that maybe doesn't need to be said because it's going to lead to misinformation. You get these guys like I'm sorry, a couple years ago when Kyrie Irving tried to convince the world that the Earth was flat. I hate to break it to you, buddy. You've been on a plane before. So I get it for the part of if you're not someone who, and I guess everybody has the ability to speak. Free speech is a thing. I'm not trying to take it away. But if you're going to use your status and you're going to use that podium for the good, make sure what you're saying is for the good. Don't just go up there to talk because you can talk. So I see that. But at the same time, no, if you're the best, who cares if you're the best at basketball, soccer, golf, football? It doesn't matter. You have the ability to affect change. if you have the ability to do that, do that. I'm like, you know, I don't understand that. Like, if you have the ability to affect change, it's your responsibility to affect change. So to say, just do what you're doing and stay quiet doesn't make sense to me, Russ.
The responsibility to affect change thing is a very good point. And I really appreciate you bringing that up. Because I'm trying not to just do a character assassination of Zlatan right now. I'm so very upset with this guy. I'm disappointed to share a Croatian heritage with this guy. In the same interview, he says, athletes unite the world, politics divide it. Says a Swedish guy to an American guy, to a country that he's only lived in for 2 years of his entire life, Zlatan has, about U.S. politics. Dude, you're intentionally creating conflict instead of uniting. And if you think that athletes have the power to unite the world, then you believe that athletes should, and that includes speaking on behalf of human rights, which, by the way, politics, tax brackets. Whether or not you should be persecuted and shot because you're a black man in America, not politics. That's common sense. That's human rights. Mm-hmm. That's what LeBron's been talking about. No, this is the stick to sports bullshit, which is just a catchy way of saying shut up and entertain me. And that's exactly what he's doing right here. What blows my mind and builds on the hypocrisy of Zlatan's comments here is back in 2018, he actually called out the Swedish media for, in his words, undercover racism, which is just an uneducated way of saying racial biases, right? That he is, I mean, he's, I believe his father's Muslim and his mother's Croatian, right? And he said, you wouldn't be coming after me like you are if I was an Anderson or if I was a Swedish-born person. Dude, you get that part. Yes, absolutely. You're calling out intolerance. That's the same shit that LeBron's doing, except LeBron's doing it with his whole chest, and he's doing it for people other than himself. Dude, you see the goal, and you're intentionally going the other way. Something he probably knows a lot about, because instead of scoring goals, he wants to headbutt people. But I digress. It's flat out wrong. It's flat out complete hypocrisy.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed altogether in him.
Well, and see, the comment Russ is talking about, Jay, I saw you nodding too, because I found it too. Politics divide the world, sports unite it. Football unites athletes wherever. We do what we do to unite. This was my message. Athletes should be athletes, and politicians should be politicians. That's the second comment. It didn't really help anything. I get that sports can unite the world, but sports uniting the world is another way to unite change. It's to get everybody on the same page. Now, Jay, the second I brought this put this topic down, I knew I was going to go to Russ, but you were the guy I wanted to ask, because you have an interesting insight Russ and I can't understand. You're a dad. You have two girls that are going to grow up in this world. And obviously, as we were growing up, we had athletes who were our idols. We had those guys that we looked to. And to be honest, if Nick Lindstrom had come out when I was a kid and said something in the way of, you know, how LeBron did, I would listen, because that was the platform. He used it the right way. So you as a dad, not only your opinion on this, but your opinion as a dad of, these are people that over the next 10, 15 years, your daughters are going to look to as people who we hear, and you hear what they have to say, and you whether you regard it wholeheartedly or you just kind of store it away for later, it's in there. So your opinions on this in two ways, as a co-host of this show, and as a father.
So let's do the father part first. I think it's very important, because like that stuff sticks with people. Like we can all recall back on our childhood and things we remember and how it has like formed the emotional side of decisions you make. Mm-hmm. Like Russ and I listened to a podcast called 31 Thoughts, and they were talking about how Austin Matthews holds the stick in a certain way, getting ready to take a one timer. Mm-hmm. And the hosts see kids doing that now playing street hockey. Like, simple as holding a stick, that stuff is important for children. So without a doubt, from the angle of a host on the show, Russ literally took my notes. I think he came to my house and took them.
He's great at that. He steals notes.
Zlatan went against his own argument by saying that athletes unite the world and politicians divide. Well, guess what? Politicians don't have a good track record of getting shit done anyways. So why not have the athletes try to help? Like, He's being an idiot. I think he's just upset because his name starts with a Z, and he was probably the last kid to get called on by teachers in classrooms. They had to wait. So he's got that anger going inside. Maybe that's what's happening. But it's dumb. Like, I'm not a firefighter, but I can get angry if someone's not pulling over to the shoulder of a road because a fire truck's trying to get through, and I can say something even though I'm just a podcaster, right? Those things, you can – LeBron's fine. He can talk. Zoltan needs to not do that. He needs to stop. And Russ pointed out all the other poignant facts that he's not helping the cause, and he was a part of a cause in the past. So it's like, shut up, bro. Go play soccer.
Which sounds a lot like what he was saying. So maybe that's going a different way.
Yeah, no, I meant it as, like, learn to speak, but also further your career. That's what I meant to say.
Okay, now to take no. As I said, we're all on the same page here, and I didn't think we were going to disagree on this. I didn't see one of you guys being like, "He's right, LeBron should shut up and just dribble the basketball." Like, I knew we'd all be on the same page here, but I do want to ask you, and Jay, I'll go to you first. I tried to allude to it in the beginning, and I don't think I really presented it in the right way. Being a person who is pushing for change is a great thing. But is there that time where you can sometimes say, okay, an athlete might have gone a little too far, or not? At this point, you're not really trying to make change; you're just trying to beat home an opinion.
I don't know, because I guess it really matters the context of what's happening. Mm-hmm. If it's like a post game interview, like, "Hey, what happened on that power play?" and you just insert opinion here, like that's not what we're talking about. But if a player is given the forum to speak,
yeah,
by all means, if your main passion is one thing and that's all you're ever going to talk about, like Thomas Plekanec always wore a turtleneck. That was his deal in hockey. He didn't give up on it. He always carried through. Like, that's fine. You can do you. So I really don't have a problem as long as you're doing it in the right moment. It's about timing.
Yeah. By the way, nothing will ever be better than listening to Jay give a very good thought out answer while Russ is twirling his mullet. Nothing will ever be greater than that.
I'm so much hair to play.
But I'm sitting here looking at Jay. I'm like, because we always make the joke that I don't listen when Jay talks. I'm legitimately trying to, like, stay with Jay. I'm listening to what he has to say. I'm interested in the response. And all I can see out of the corner of my eye is Rush just twirling his hair, flipping it back and forth.
He's got the golden sun right now, too.
Yeah, no, and
this
it's just,
is like
no,
a photo shoot.
It's great. But, Russ, to Jay's point, you're okay with it as long as you're using it as a vehicle to improve. So, I mean, in your opinion, is there that point of it's an okay vehicle as long as it is for that? It's to improve, it's to better, not to spread, you know, I guess hate in a way that would not be beneficial for everyone.
That's the exact word, hate. And that's what I loaded up. I don't even have to agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
For me to be completely cool with you saying it, as long as you're not being disrespectful or anything, that's it, right? If you have a differing opinion and it isn't, well, you know, actually that person should just die. Well, that's too far. Everything shy of that, we have plenty of, I have plenty of time at the very least. I'm sure we as a group as well have time for someone that, especially someone like LeBron, who educates himself on these situations. And it isn't just from the hip shooting. Like, he takes time and he digests this stuff and he comes out with well-reasoned, well-articulated arguments. Dude, like, that all time, all day for that, he can say it forever as long as he wants. If Tony D'Angelo wasn't such a complete ass about it, okay, then I get it. I don't agree with him, but I get it. But he's a complete ass, and that's why he had to stop. As an example.
And then lastly, because we do have other things to get to and a lot to talk about. Any part of you guys willing to chalk this up to just difference in culture and how it's different over there than over here, and how in the last year, especially the last year, and I'm not saying not before that, but especially in the last year, a lot of these big name athletes, like a guy we're going to talk about here in a minute, and LeBron and all these other guys have chosen to realize, I have this vehicle for however long I have it, I'm going to use it to benefit all these people. Like LeBron. LeBron even, in his response to it, brought up the school that he is providing in Akron that is tuition-free for these kids, and saying, Why would I silence myself when I have an ability to make change in my community? He still considers Akron his community, and that I think is great. It doesn't bother me that he doesn't step foot in it very often, but he still uses his vehicle in that way. So any part able to chalk it up to just differencing an opinion just because of culture?
I think that's part of it, honestly. I mean, it's just the world's becoming smaller day by day. So each week that goes by, it's harder to make that argument. But to completely ignore the cultural differences would be ignorance on a different level. Yes, there's 100% difference. And his experiences in Sweden growing up, in his own admission, being marginalized because of his background, should bring him closer to LeBron's purpose, not further from, though. So there's something there. I don't know what he's missing that's not letting him take that next step, though. I'm not going to say that, hey, that's Swedish culture, because, hey, I've been there, and it was very lovely. It was very quiet, and I enjoyed that very much. I like when people don't talk to me, but that's me.
I'm starting to get why he doesn't respond to our texts very often.
Yes, that's exactly it. There is a deification of athletes in the U.S. that doesn't happen to the same magnitude in other cultures, and I think that might be part of the disconnect.
All right, Jay, there you go. Deification. We need a bigger word than that in your response.
I lost my whole train of thought because Russ doesn't want people to talk to him.
Yet he does a weekly podcast with two of us where all we do is talk to him.
Get this. Real estate prices in Sweden, higher near cemeteries. Why? It's quieter. You're welcome. That's a real fact.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. No, but Jay, in all honesty, just difference in culture. I mean, it's a different mentality over there. It hasn't reached the same. It's just, it's almost like an upbringing in that way of what we do over here isn't necessarily as represented in other parts of the world.
Yeah, I think now knowing some more on his upbringing from Russ's information, he should know better to understand, even though they're continents away. So it could just be ignorance. He could have just had a case of the Mondays and he opened his mouth. I'm losing an understanding of what he gained by coming after LeBron if all he wanted was to be talked about on the Armchair Sports Talk podcast, because he got it.
Well, let's be honest. This wouldn't be the first time an entertainer of some form has used their platform incorrectly and made an ignorant comment. We've heard them. We hear them almost weekly now, it seems like. This just seems to be a bigger one, because instead of poking fun or making a comment about a very broad spectrum, you poked fun at one of the biggest names on the planet. You know, like, that's, and not to mention in today's age, like, if he had done this 20 years ago, it probably barely gets a clip on ESPN. But because of what social media is today, social media is the biggest vehicle on the planet. You get on social media and get enough seen, it's top news. You're unable to hide anymore. So, I mean, I agree, you know, with both of you guys that it's definitely ignorance. I can't unwrap this to get to a point where it's like, okay, yeah, he was all right. It's just, you know, your upbringing is your upbringing, and I'll give you that. It is what it is. But I might be the individual. I've always been that person of, your upbringing is only a percentage of who you are. You can make choices to be different. You don't, just because you were raised a certain way does not mean, oh, you can only be this way. You know, you can make choices in your life for good or for bad that can take you in different directions and lead you down different paths than you ever would have known. That's not to say that, you know, there aren't factors in your life that are going to affect it, but you can choose to be a different person if you want to be a different person. So the fact that he's making these comments either means he's made his choice of the kind of person he is, or no one ever told him that. Take it for what it is. So,
damn.
I know. I don't look that smart, but every once in a while I can say something intellectual.
I'm trying not to make the monkey on a typewriter joke, but oops, yeah. I guess I did.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't even need big words to do it. There you go.
Hey, there you go.
You guys hide behind your $5 words. I'm good. Give me a nickel and I'll turn it into something. But speaking of someone who's actually used their platform for change, last couple of weeks we've talked about this guy almost every week. I think we've all agreed that this is someone who legitimately got his platform and he has not given it up because he's using it to make change. Affected Houston in a massive way. On the field, yes, but I would say he's done more for the city of Houston than he has for the actual football team. J.J. Watt announced the other day, which, by the way, if you didn't see the tweet, it's amazing. Tweeted himself working out in an Arizona Cardinals shirt and said, "Source, me." I love it. But J.J. Watt signs a 2-year deal, $31 million with the Arizona Cardinals, 23 of it guaranteed. And really, there's nothing more we can do about this but just reaction here. I mean, so your guys' opinions. I sent you both the article the other day that there were also multiple teams who have come forward and said, "We offered him more." So there was something about Arizona he wanted to be a part of. So, Jay, I mean, I guess first reaction, J.J. Watt to the Arizona Cardinals.
My first reaction is they're not done yet, because Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt will probably make a happy Kyler Murray. But Larry Fitzgerald ain't getting any younger. Christian Kirk, I don't care who's even at running back for them. It's a bunch of hand-me-downs at this point.
Still Kenyon Drake, I think.
He's a free agent.
He played
in
middle.
Okay. Yeah.
They're not done. I love it for J.J. If he took less money, that means they're going to go spend some more elsewhere, and they need a running back on that team. It probably is very nice to be Kyler Murray right now. And good for J.J. He's a great dude. He raises money. That's great. But I'm thinking about the offense side of the ball for that team.
I just love that only $8 million of his money is not guaranteed. Like, that's right? That's great work out there. This is a Stephen A. Smith fact, so take it for what it is and hate it for what it is. Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt, top two in the league in sacks since, I believe they said, 2012 season. I could have that number wrong. But so that right there. It's a great thing to have, Russ. You're the two best sackers in the league.
It is fantastic. And it was one of the things I think we universally agreed that wherever he went, he should try to go somewhere where he doesn't have to be the number one.
Absolutely.
Check for that box. Everything else beyond that, for the decision, I went, J.J., what? I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
Supposedly, according to Ed Werder, J.J. Watt's first criteria was quality of quarterback in choosing his destination. Take that as you will. Kyler Murray, but it could have been maybe Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Aaron Rodgers. Even if you say, hey, Russell Wilson's not going to be there in Seattle, you're still sure that Kyler Murray is better than Josh Allen, and he sure as shit isn't better than Aaron Rodgers at this point in his career.
Well, the first two teams I heard were Cleveland and Indy, so you got to take that as Baker Mayfield or Carson Wentz. So, one, yes. The other we've talked about over the last couple of weeks is questionable to begin with. But I see what you mean, though, with Aaron Rodgers. And that's the thing, though. Seattle has to be scary to him now, because you don't even know that Russell Wilson's going to be there.
Right.
So it's signing on, and then for all you know, you're signing on, and then a week later it's like, oh, by the way, Russell's going to Vegas. Yeah. So
And if I was Russell Wilson, I'd extra want to get out of the division now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, as you were touching on with Indy and Colts, those are the two teams that supposedly offered more money.
Yeah.
I wonder if they offered more guaranteed money first, because with his injury history, that's a big deal.
Oh, absolutely.
But if it just came down to money with them, then yeah, I see Edwards' thing as if you're looking at quality of QB. Yeah, I would take Kyler over the quarterbacks in Indy and Cleveland right now. It's still, does anyone here think that they're the favorite to win the division right now? Are they number two in the division even? Like, I struggle with Russell Wilson in place putting him anywhere but third.
Well, that was one of the follow-ups I had, is as he signs in, the Cardinals are still dead last in odds to win their division this year. So it says a lot about what they're getting. I think it's more insane that we're talking about a division now that has Bosa, Aaron Donald, and J.J. Watt all playing in that division. That's a defensive line nightmare division. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins and him reunite teammates in Houston. You knew there probably had to be something there of, let me go to where there's somebody I know. The Kyler Murray thing, I like Kyler Murray. I think he's fun to watch. I think he has to be in the right system for him to be as effective as he is. I think if you took him, pulled him out, and put him in other systems, he probably isn't as effective. You know, putting him in like the Rams offense where it's more power eye, under center, we're doing it this way kind of thing. No, but Cliff Kingsbury's offense of run and gun, we're going to, you know, fast tempo, that's Kyler's strong suit. He's got a big arm and he's mobile. So I think that's great, but like Jay said, it's great to be Kyler Murray right now. Yeah, on one aspect, but to the other side, Kyler doesn't have a lot of weapons right now. Like you said, Fitzgerald, he's getting up there. He's still capable of playing, but he's never going to be, he's not that Larry Fitzgerald anymore. Running back situation is a question, and we've seen here in Detroit, you can't throw it to the same guy every single time and have an effective offense. So it is great. Unfortunately, this is a big signing, but it's still, there's still a lot of question marks that need to be answered. Does it put them in the higher up in the division? I don't think they should be dead last anymore. I would make an argument that until the quarterback position gets addressed in San Francisco, the Niners need to be more at the bottom. We don't know what Jimmy G is going to be. Jimmy G played half a season, and then he got hurt this past year. So we haven't really seen a lot of Jimmy G. Okay? So it's a question mark there. The Rams, who knows what Stafford's going to do there. But unfortunately, as long as Aaron Donald is in the middle of that defensive line, there's no debating it. They have the best defense. But it's on the other side. As long as Russell Wilson's under center, you got to find a way to stop him and DK Metcalf, which a lot of teams can't do. They can't stop anybody, but they can outscore everybody. So it moves Arizona up, in my opinion. It doesn't put them at the top of the division. They're going to have to earn this division, Jay.
I'm going to say, like, second at best. But that's going on a limb, assuming a whole bunch of other stuff for the rest of the division between the Rams and the Seahawks. 49ers are down.
Which, by the way, you're the guy that was touting Jimmy G for the last couple years. So to hear you say that.
Hey, a little insider trading. I get really excited really fast, and then I walk away from that excitement pretty quickly, too. So no, I'm not a reliable source.
Oh, I feel so bad for Natasha. No, but Russ, I agree with you though, Russ, to get back to that point. All that guaranteed money had to be a big deciding factor. I mean, if you tell somebody we're going to give you $30 million and all but $7 million of it's going to be guaranteed, it's kind of hard to walk away from that. It's a lot of money to, and like you said, with the injury problems, you want to get all the guaranteed money you can because you don't know how many more paydays like this are going to exist.
Oh, absolutely. With his age, I think he's, 31. He hasn't played a full season more than twice in the last 5 years. Yeah. Guaranteed money should have been priority number one. I get why he doesn't say that. But there's no doubt that was priority number one.
But we can also put that on there, too. Like you said, he hasn't played a full season in a couple years now. So that's another reason why the odds don't really improve as much, because you don't know if you're going to get 16 game J.J. Watt, or if you're going to get 5-game J.J. Watt. So it's tough for that, and that's a gamble on Arizona, because they are a team that's trending upward. Signing a guy like J.J. Watt does wonders for your locker room and potentially on the field, but you're also looking at taking a big chunk of money and investing it in a guy that you might not get more than a couple games out of.
Have we considered that he also saw the Tiger accident and went, you know what, I want to wear red on Sundays too?
See?
Look, this team's, I love that. This team's all in on, though, because I just saw, like an hour ago, I saw a tweet. They're unretiring a number for him. 99 was retired.
For Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, for Wayne Gretzky.
I just saw that today, that they had that number retired, and they're seriously opening up. Then you don't get to retire anything else anymore. You've lost your retirement abilities. That's bullshit.
Well, but they did that in... They did that in Denver. 18 was retired in Denver, and they unretired it for Peyton, and then they re-retired it when he retired.
You know what? I'm going to move on from that. I'm going to get real mad.
I opened up. No, get mad. Oh, you want? No. Hold on.
60 seconds.
Give it to us. We need it.
You can't set the stage for your fan base and then rip out the foundation of what you're doing just to make it convenient for someone else. Like, no, the number's retired. If someone walked into the Red Wings and said, hey, I want 19 or 9, bullshit. You wouldn't give that up. You don't do that. Lose your ability to do anything else. I don't care.
But here's where that example I get, but you just picked the two most iconic people to ever wear a winged wheel jersey. There's a difference between retiring. You understand though, Arizona hasn't, or the Cardinals have not just been in Arizona. The Cardinals were in Detroit for a while. This team has moved. Like, this is one of the original football teams.
Okay, but tell me who this 99 guy is. They just spit on maybe his grave. I don't know. Like, you can't.
Give me your opinion, and I'll look it up. Go ahead.
What is important to me might not be as important to others, but at some point in time, 99 was important to Arizona, and now this guy, if he's alive, they're like, oh, it's a great honor to pass it. No. You were that day where you got retired, and you probably went out to dinner, and you had a great time, and maybe you got lucky when you got home. Don't mean shit now. Like, it doesn't count.
The Cardinals started it. Cardinals started in 1920. So the Cardinals are literally 101 years old.
You should know better.
Retired Marshall Goldberg, a halfback from the 40s, essentially.
Who wore 99. Like, seriously.
Poor guy. Right. I'm assuming he's dead.
Yes. Well, let me verify that. Yes, he died in 2006. At the age of 87.
R.I.P. Man, you lost your number. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I told you not to go down that road.
No, I get what you're saying. I'm making the point that, like, I understand it, and it is that thing of, he could have said no, he could have gone with a different number, and I understand that. Just, you know, they offered it to him, and I'm sure he probably didn't, you know, say no. Clearly, but I'm just saying, I get what you're saying. It's just to me, but we've had this debate all the time. Retiring numbers is a weird, you know, weird thing because it doesn't seem to hold a lot of consistency in how they do it.
Yeah.
So
if you can't commit to it always being retired, why are you committing to it being retired at all? It's one or the other. Otherwise, it's just someone not wearing the number.
Yeah. Justin loved that. All right, well, let's move on to a guy who's probably going to have his number retired on the Comerica wall here eventually.
There we
go. Yeah, it's a great segue. Tigers spring training opened up and all that. We're going to touch on it a little bit. But all off season and for the last couple of months, all I keep hearing is Miggy's in such great shape. Miggy's in the best shape of his life, yada, yada, yada. And, Russ, it leads me to one question and one question only. Does Mickey being in great shape really, really change the outcome of a Tigers season at all?
So I at first blush, I wanted to just laugh and go, no, because I Googled Miguel Cabrera, best shape of his life, for verbatim, and I got an article from February 20th of 2020. This is even the first news cycle in the last 2 years where we've had this story. But I did. For the sake of the pod, I said, okay, I'll bite. At 37 years old, let's pretend he really is in the best shape of his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say he does something he hasn't done since 2016, and he hits around 300. Because he's 37, he hasn't had an MVP vote, he hasn't hit over 300, and he hasn't hit 20 home runs in a season since 2016. Oh, boy. He was on pace for about mid to high 20s last year through 57 games, though. So let's assume he does bounce back. He hits 290, hits 25 home runs, plays DH most of the time. That makes him a 35-year-old Ryan Braun, who was a four-hitter for the Milwaukee team back in 2019 that lost in the wild card round because they were an average team who snuck in. Or he's 37-year-old Manny Ramirez, who hit fifth for the Dodgers team in 2009, who was stupid good with pitching and was carried the rest of the way. Average, very good at other things. And then we had the Tigers, who had the worst ERA plus and eighth worst OPS plus in the entire league last year. So even if Miggy did that, even if Miggy was peak Miggy, we'd still need like two other guys at least for this to mean anything for the Tigers season, other than every once in a while going, oh, hey, they look Miggy's here. That was fun.
Russ, your analysis is spot on today. I love it. I guess I'm going to go the loud bombastic route real quick. The media is lazy. That's what this is. Like, if this makes people feel better, great, enjoy it. But let me enter this in. I would like to enter in some evidence. I would like to give you one Bartolo Colon. Tell me how him being in great shape helps his team. He didn't have to be in great shape, and he helped his team. This is just laziness. This is recycling. I watched a Dallas hockey game earlier in the week, And the young rookie on the team scored a goal. And the lady said, "Hey, how was your first goal? How else is it supposed to be? Like, if Mickey's not in shape and he's old and he's not in his prime, don't." Mickey is set to do it again. He's in great shape. It's just laziness. Like, let's just get to the actual baseball game. And we'll talk about after the first pitch.
I agree. Bartolo Colon's, I think, a very, very large outlier in that example, but I get what you're saying.
Just a little bit.
But no, I mean, at this point, Mickey being in great shape is phenomenal. Does it mean he'll maybe stay healthy a little bit longer this year? Yeah. But at the end of the day, Miggy's been in the league for quite a while now. He's reached that point where getting in great shape buys you a little bit of time. It doesn't turn back time. We're not going to get, you know, early 2000s Miggy. We're going to get 2021 Miggy, who just might be able to, you know, hit a couple extra dingers, who might be able to play first a little more than he probably would have if he hadn't made any changes. So it's fun to see, and I'm excited to see Miggy. It's always a great time to watch him play baseball. But I don't think it changes anything in the outcome of one guy on a 9-man, fielding team can't do it all. We've seen that countless times over. So it's fun to see. Before we get to Justin's bet of the week, I do want to add, driving home the other day, I don't know who it was listening to 97.1, but they made the comment, and I want to see how you two react to it, of whoever it was made the comment of, this is the last year we have to worry about the Tigers not being a playoff contending, not playoff winning, playoff contending team. We have this year, and then after that, the corner will be turned. And I want to know what you guys think about that.
That is hopeful. I'll say this way. The path is there. The pitching prospects that are coming up with, like, Scooble and Mize and some of the relievers gives you a path that you get there. But again, projecting, we haven't seen any of them actually have any success in the major leagues. I'd say maybe 2 years from now we can talk about that if we're still projecting, but baseball playoffs are hard to make. There's 162 games, and then they recently expanded it. Let's see if they stick with that once we get out of COVID, but it's like four teams each league that get in. It's like eight teams, maybe 10 if they keep it expanded in the entire league. You're going to be one of the five best teams in the AL after being objectively one of the bottom five for the last 3 or 4 years at least. No, it doesn't get turned around that fast for young arms that you hope project well. There's been a lot of top picks, and when Riley Green comes and joins these pitchers too, yeah, there should be some pieces. Go look around at some of these other teams. Mike Trout, for as amazing as he is, that team hasn't been over 500 since 2017. It takes a lot to get good again to build a playoff caliber.
That comment is on the same par of Miggy looks great. We're going to have a great year. I hope it wasn't a host that said that, because what bears that fruit? What makes that happen? I don't know of any rookie that's going to come up and just be this all-star that's going to change the path of the Tigers. So that's another lazy take right there.
It's hopeful.
No, I mean, but in the city of Detroit, I think, like, especially when it comes to sports, hope is what we need, because that little glimmer of hope is going to get fans to latch on. If you have no hope, it's just tough to watch. You're basically watching it to see what the other team is going to do to your team, which isn't that enjoyable. Or you're looking at the schedule and saying, all right, I'll watch that game because this person's playing. I'll watch that game because this guy's playing. But other than that, you know, it's not a lot. So that little glimmer of hope will help, because it means that, kind of like what we're seeing with the Pistons now. They don't even have 10 wins yet, but they're in every game, and you see guys who are like, oh, okay, I see why that guy's there, and I see what that guy's going to bring when the corner is turned. So it is from that. Do I think that this is the last year we're going to have to worry about not making the playoffs? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because no matter what team you are, every year you have to worry about making the playoffs, because we've seen what happens in August and September when a team for some odd reason finds it and clicks in, and all of a sudden teams who are guaranteed to make the playoffs are having to compete in every game just to stay above water. So I will never say this is the year we don't have to worry about making the playoffs, but I would like to say that this might be the last year we have to worry about not being able to field a competitive baseball team. I'll give you that, and we'll go from there. So we'll see. As usual, I'm not even going to make fun of him this week. I'm just going to straight out put it out there. As usual, since sports betting became legal, we have our resident expert, Sergeant Salty's Bet of the Week. Justin, lay it on us. Where are we putting our money this week?
I mean, that expert tag is not needed from this past weekend. I went 2-24. 2-24. I am down some money. But we're here to rebound, and I got some picks for you guys. We've gone short very recently. These are long picks. I don't want to go quick and fast because that's how I lost my money this weekend. I want to be long on something. So we got some long approaches, okay? I got one in both of your wheelhouses. First one, Milwaukee Bucks. If you look at their track record right now, they're good at winning like 5 or 6 games in a row and then losing about 5 or 6 games in a row. And like that's their method. They're good, they're bad, they're good, they're bad. Very inconsistent. 21-13. They're odd to win it all right now. It's only +700, but it's a long shot given the path that they got to take to get there and how inconsistent they've been. So then you could be long on the Milwaukee Bucks if you want.
Okay.
The second one, going along again, the odds double on it, but it's actually a little bit makes sense because it's harder to make the playoffs and win right now in the NHL. That would be the Edmonton Oilers. You've got Dreisaitl, you've got McDavid, you've got potentially the lock on who's going to win the heart between the two of them. But could you go long on Edmonton knowing that you got to get past Toronto, or could you go long on Milwaukee knowing what you have to deal with in the NBA playoffs and more teams and competition? So if you had to lose your money is probably the way I should put it. Which way would you want to lose it? With Edmonton +1,400 or Milwaukee +700?
Oh boy.
I'm not going to do these long ones too often. The short ones are better. Give me some length.
Just at face value without Russ throwing out the math, I will say that I think I would go with Edmonton for the fact that going on winning 5, losing 5, winning 5, losing 5 in a 7-game series, you're out after one of those series. Like there's no rebound after that. You lose 3 games, you're done. So I think, and not to mention the East is one thing, but you get over to that Western Conference and tell me that they have to go up against the Lakers or they have to go up against the Denver Nuggets or the Utah Jazz, how they're playing right now, there's no chance. Giannis is amazing. He's a phenomenal basketball player. Notice there's no one else to mention because it's Giannis and then a lot of other people. Not to say there's not some talent on that team, but it's Giannis and then it's everybody else. I don't think that in that situation, all those teams I mentioned in the West are far more balanced and have a lot more depth than Milwaukee. So to me, yes, could you get the payout on Milwaukee? Absolutely, if you do it. To me, that feels like one that you'll likely never see the money on. It just won't. Now, that's not to say Edmonton's a lock by any means, but if I have to pick one or the other, I'm going to take Edmonton and the fact that there are two names you can mention on Edmonton as opposed to one in Milwaukee.
Fair.
I'll answer with my own question. Are the Edmonton Oilers the Milwaukee Bucks?
Kinda.
Oh my God.
Are they the counterparts for each other that you have somewhat disputed, but arguably the best player in the league on both teams and just can't get out of the first or second round consistently because they can't put a good enough team around them? Like, they're mirrors of each other. So I love it from that narrative perspective. But numbers-wise, +700, that's a 12.5% chance. +1,400, that's a 6.7% chance. That sounds about right. But I'm going to lean to the Bucks for a couple of reasons here. You mentioned the up-and-down streaks here. What we failed to mention is that five-game lose streak actually happened the day after Drew Holiday, their presumed starting point guard, was out and has missed since. He just came back last game. So we removed that, and we're talking about a team that has only lost twice in a row, twice this season, with multiple four-game win streaks in there itself. So So with him, they're a more complete team. They actually have a chance. I'm willing to bet more on the superstar on a team where he can play 60% of the game at least, whereas Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, they're one out of five for a third of the game, whereas Giannis can be a much higher percentage of that. Also, this is coming on the eve of that of a game that completely biased me, that Toronto doesn't have Frederik Andersen, doesn't have Austin Matthews, and Edmonton loses 3-0 to them. You can't lose to a team missing their most important players and get shut out with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and have me sniff anywhere near betting on you. So give me the Bucks. Actually, give me none of them, but gun to my head, give me the Bucks.
So our bet of the week is actually not a bet of the week. We've just established that the Bucks and the Oilers are practically the same.
Yes. You give me $5, I will give you $5. We will call it a win.
Perfect. So I'm putting $20 on the Bucks.
Going with the slow play. I like it. You know, you usually expect like these quick turnaround bets with Jay, but no, he's going to sit down and watch his money deteriorate instead of, you know, just disappear. So it's a different way. It's a different way. That's going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. As always, my thanks to the Statman who just proved that we're not financially responsible. Always making us sound a lot smarter than we really are. And also, if you're looking for it, probably some great hair tips. He's got a lot of it. He can tell you what kind of shampoo and conditioner works well.
It has become this weird, like, calming tick that I do. Where now that I pull the hair back, and the problem is with every stroke, I become more and more Gordon Gekko. And it scares the hell out of me. So I gotta stop.
Now you know why I didn't want to cut my hair before your wedding, but you made me, so.
Yeah, and that was the right call.
Oh.
And if I was going anywhere except for to pick up takeout sushi every now and then, I would also have cut my own hair by now.
And as always, the guy that introed us, Sergeant Salty Justin Marcus, appreciate you, buddy.
Hey, I'm just glad I got to witness the golden hour of Russ. Like, his room went back to natural light. We got that golden moment of his hair, the wall, the colors. It was great. So I'm glad I was here for that.
Absolutely. And as always, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. That is one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.